Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Country Heat Weekly ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Okay, we're going to start with a little activity. Are you ready?
Okay, let's do it.
In this cup, we've got names of some former entertainers of the year. I'm going to pick one out, and I want you to tell me what award you would give that person. You can make it up.
What award?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
What award would you give yourself?
Best way to piss off his wife by asking for a hunting trip at the wrong time.
Okay.
That award.
Reba. I've never met Reba yet. So this is like incredibly hard. Though she's like iconic.
Yeah.
Icon award.
She's an icon.
Gotcha.
Forever and always.
I hope I have something good for you. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. Boom. George Strait. I guess it's the king of country music.
I mean,
he's just he got the king award. He gets the crown.
Reba. Make up an award that I would give to Reba. Best hair. Best hair award goes to
Reba.
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
Luke Bryan, biggest Georgia fan.
Oh, bigger than you?
No.
What award would you give Shania Twain?
The feelingest, most womanist award.
Feelingest?
Feelingest, most womanist. You said make it up. I made it up.
I made it up
words, too.
I love it.
We got Willie Nelson, botanist of the year. That's pretty good.
That is perfect.
Department of Natural Resources Green Award.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
Hello from Media Row. We are behind the scenes at this year's CMA Awards, talking to all of your favorite stars before country music's biggest night. I'm Kelly Sutton.
And I'm Amber Anderson. And by the time this episode drops, you will know the winners. But as of right now, everyone still has a chance, and we love that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll turn this episode in right about the time the show goes live on Wednesday night. So this is a spoiler-free zone if you have DVR'd it to watch it later.
That's exactly right. And we've packed a lot into this episode, everybody. In fact, we have a really fun interview coming up with Cody Johnson. So stay tuned. His new album, Leather, is out. Everybody's been talking about it. It has been wide for a while now. You saw him perform The Painter on the CMA Awards. And we're going to hear all about the story behind that song and the making of the album coming up.
And a tattoo story I don't think anyone's ever heard before.
Oh, that's true. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's coming up too. First, though, if you follow us on social media, you know that we got to go to the Kelsey Ballerini hometown sold-out show in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was everything that we wanted it to be.
And I think it was everything Kelsey wanted it to be.
I mean, honestly, I'm still, like, watching videos back and being like, that seems cool. She seems like she's having fun. It's like, it was a really, really emotionally overwhelming night for me. And so I think mm-hmm. I'm still processing it.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, pyro, she flew.
All the things. 16 feet does not sound like it's that high. Y'all, 16 feet feels high when pyro is strapped to your behind. It feels very, very high.
She came down and just like, that was scary.
It was really scary. I was like, did it look cool though?
It looked amazing. So was it everything you wanted it to be? I mean, having Kenny there, what was that like to hold his hand, walk out to the end of that catwalk and sing to Knoxville?
I remember when I was on tour with him earlier this year, opening for him, I was like, hey, Kenny, I think we're going to, you know, we're going to try to jump and do a big arena, like a big girl show. And we're going to do it at Thompson Bowling in Knoxville. Is there any way that you would come do this with me? And he was just like, I would not miss that. I'll be there. And he hasn't performed in Knoxville in a long time. And the fact that he did that for me and for our song was crazy.
So, of course, there was a lot of planning and production that went into that night. And I think all of us were really expecting there to be a big announcement following the show, maybe a tour that was coming, but it might be a while.
I have to make an album first. I have to make an album. I'm in the very, very beginning stages of that. So that's step one. But like, yeah, I mean, but like, I want to do that again.
Yes.
I would like to do that again.
We would like to see it again.
That was very fun.
Well, Kelly came home with an extra special souvenir from the show. This stylish shoe.
Okay. So I did break a bone in my foot as we were getting on the bus to go to Kelsey's homecoming show in Knoxville. But nothing was going to keep me from seeing that concert. And you know what? Worth it.
You'll do it all again.
Would do it again. Absolutely.
Well, you'll never, ever forget it.
No, I won't. Okay, so back to the CMA Awards. One of the things that you had a chance to cover was the host press conference with Luke Bryan and Peyton Manning.
And you know I volunteered for the assignment.
Because you love the Vols, right?
No. I love football.
Okay.
And I respect Peyton Manning.
Yes, you do.
For the football player that he is and the CMA host that he is alongside Luke Bryan. But it was really, really cool to hear Peyton talk about how he even got into country music.
You know, growing up in New Orleans, obviously it's a great city for music, for live music, and probably wasn't necessarily a huge country fan growing up in New Orleans because I just wasn't exposed to it as much. But when you spend 4 years in college in Knoxville, country music is right in front of you, and I just jumped right in and embraced it. Got to meet a number of the artists during that time, started going to concerts, and, you know, mentioned Kenny earlier. I met Kenny on the sidelines at a Tennessee game, and he and I got to be good friends, and saw him perform several times. He performed at my wedding, which was a great honor, and that's just been the coolest part for me is getting to know these artists as friends as well, not just as entertainers.
Okay, everybody, it's time to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will have more scoop from behind the scenes at this year's CMA Awards.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
We're hanging out backstage at the CMA Awards with the guy who is a 5-time nominee and will be opening the show, Jelly Roll!
Yeah, baby. You know, it's funny. When you said all that until you said Jelly Roll, I looked around. I was like, who did they nominate
about?
5 times and let open the show?
That would be you, my friend.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. It's I can't believe somebody hadn't stopped me yet. I think the only thing that might be more special than winning a CMA is getting to open the CMAs. So I think it's so special that I'm in that place.
Being nominated for Male Vocalist, who inspires you as far as male vocalists go?
Dude, first of all, it's the only category I don't think I should have been nominated for.
Why?
Full disclosure, I'm honest, right? I mean, dude, look at my peers. Cody Johnson. God, have you ever heard that dude belt in real life? Chris Stapleton? I think it should just be called the Chris Stapleton Award and he should give it away. You know what I mean?
We're talking with Carly Pierce, who gets to sing live with Chris Stapleton.
I know. What does one think when you are about to sing with Chris Stapleton?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. So we had our rehearsal earlier and I was wearing a different outfit. And during the rehearsal, I sweat so bad because I was so nervous that I had to have an emergency assistant run to your house and grab another outfit. But it went really well.
Okay.
But the amount of sweat for the nerves was real. I was like, I can't wear this outfit anymore. I don't really get nervous. I was very nervous.
Here with the reigning Entertainer of the Year, 4-time nominee this year, also performing, Luke Combs.
Yeah,
what's
up? So
good to see you.
Thank you.
Are you exhausted?
No, so usually this week I am exhausted. This is my first time ever not still being on tour while this week is happening.
And so it just feels completely different.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice.
You're just strolling around. Like, wow.
Like, yeah, it's like, get out of the house for a little bit. You know, it's pretty cool, you know?
So you've been to 16 countries, 3 continents.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. What's been like?
Really tiring. Yeah. And, like, a lot of fun, but also, like, semi-soul-crushing to an extent at times. You know, my second son was born while I was in Australia, so that was very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, thank God for FaceTime. I got to kind of at least be around. But yeah, that was tough. But it's hard. That travel's hard. It's tough, but it's very rewarding.
Are you staying closer to home for 2024?
Yes, for sure.
Old Dominion, I have to know, what tips have you given Megan Maroney for performing live on television?
It's mostly just makeup tips.
Yeah.
Like, just how to put your makeup on.
Give her a makeup tutorial.
Good, you know. Good.
That's important.
That's what she was worried about.
We told her also to get really drunk before.
Yeah.
Just get hammered.
Okay.
And that's the way you ensure a good performance.
Well, she said she was really nervous.
she did tell us that.
She did tell us that.
Do you have any nerves about singing on TV?
100%. 100%.
How is it different than getting ready to sing at... in an arena full of people?
I mean, I don't even know if it's the TV aspect. It's probably more so just the CMA Awards. Those, I feel like, in general make me nervous. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's different because there's obviously the audience that's there and then the audience that is not there.
Dan and Shay. Hi, guys.
So good to see you. What's
good to
happening?
See you as always. So when you're preparing to perform on an award show, how is it different than prepping for, like, your own concert?
You got to kind of perform to the camera. So it's kind of high pressure. You got to work the camera, not just the people in the crowd. So it's a little bit of a different approach. We're fired up, though. I mean, just to get to sing a new song on the show that, you know, we're excited about. And we're singing Save Me the Trouble, which is like the craziest vocal performance ever by this guy.
I think I'm ready. I feel like
he's going to kill it.
I love this song so much. And honestly, when we wrote this song, we put this out, this was one of the moments that we were kind of preparing for.
Talking to 3-time nominee Ashley McBride. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
The nerves are present.
Really?
They are.
That shocks me.
It's not like I get nervous the way you think of the word nervous, but suddenly sounds are loud to me and things make me kind of jump. And then I just have to think, what is wrong with me? I'm probably just nervous.
Well, it's not like you haven't been here before.
I know. Lots and lots of times. I've performed many, many times.
Yes. Okay. What are you most looking forward to?
I'm always looking forward to the performances, but this year... I'm looking forward to who I'm sitting between and how well they handle the fact that I dance around and have the most fun. Because sometimes you get seated next to people that are like, I don't do that, and you're doing that. And that's really fun. Also, the dressing room shenanigans. Because there's so many of us in one room, and that's where the memories are made.
We have so much more content to sift through and bring to you guys over the next few weeks. So make sure you are following the podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss any of these insider stories.
Absolutely. We also got to talk to a few of the artists that we worked with on a special performance broadcast for Veterans Day.
That's right. Kelly and I hosted Musicians on Call's Concert for Veterans presented by Wrangler. A virtual concert that's being played all month long in veterans hospitals across America. It's an incredible way to celebrate and thank our veterans with the healing power of music.
Craig Morgan understands that power as well as anyone.
It's our job. I think psychiatrists and psychologists would probably tell us that it's healing for us as well. But for me, the reward and the healing comes in knowing that I'm doing something that's going to benefit other people. Anytime we're asked to do anything that we feel like is going to benefit other people, make them feel better about what's going on, but especially our service people, it's a very humbling feeling for me.
The show also featured performances and inspiring messages from Darius Rucker, Brothers Osborne, Scotty McCreery, and the Warren Treaty. Michael is also a veteran.
Greatest honor other than marrying Tana and having kids.
Now, what branch were you?
Army. In fact, shout out to 1/6 Infantry, 2nd Brigade, 1st Armored Division. Hoorah!
Oh, right. Love it. That has to be one of those things that you look back in your life and you're like, had I not made that decision, everything else might be a little different.
Well, yes. Yes, it is. And it's also one of the things I look back at my life and realize that selfless service is rewarding. Mm-hmm. And being able to serve our country selflessly and uphold our freedoms, it feels so good to be able to do that.
Thank you to Musicians on Call for allowing us to be part of such a special event. There's a companion playlist that's available as well, exclusively on Amazon Music. Just search for the Stars and Stripes playlist and share it with a veteran you love.
Well, I think that's everything we have to talk about for now. After a quick break, we will be back with Cody Johnson.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
It's his second time in the center stage spotlight, but it is his first time being here in the Country Heat House. Cody Johnson, welcome to Country Heat Weekly.
You. Yeah, we're used to seeing each other at remotes.
I know. Well, hey, we got to talk fast because you're only in town for like half a minute. They got you booked solid. The car's running. They're not even turning it off.
That's not a joke. That's not a joke.
It's not a joke. When you get into town, like, it happens all the time because you do have short windows of time of being in Nashville.
I do. You know, that's one of the things about not living here is, like, being at home in Texas, I can go home and decompress. But whenever it's time to come to work, like, I just got off the bus this morning. We played 3 shows this weekend. I was like, cram it all into one day. You got me for a day. And as soon as I'm through, I'm going straight to the airport, getting on a jet, and I'm going to be back home for dinner tonight.
But it's a good problem to have because that means everybody wants to talk to you about your new album, Leather. We are so excited, but we do have all of the questions.
I'll answer them.
So starting with it having 12 songs, even though we know you recorded 24. Mm-hmm. So is this volume one, side A? Is there a second album coming? We want all of the details.
So I discussed all that. I kind of was like in over my head this time. So I leaned on Chris Lacey at Warner. I was like, I don't want to do another double album because it just kind of seems redundant to do another double album. And I figured out last album with 24 tracks, you release them all. People's attention spans are not that long. And I only got 2 singles out of 24 songs. And there were songs that I felt like really could have had more time to shine.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do we do a side A, side B, you know, kind of vintage? Do we do part one, part two? And what she came up with and her research was that if we call it a deluxe edition, it still counts as one album for voting purposes.
Smart.
So within 360 days of November 3rd, we will put out the deluxe edition with the other 12 tracks. And so we didn't really separate them.
Like, I didn't
pick like my favorite 12 to go first. Like we really just, I went through and tried to make it to where what songs have similar anything, melodic structure, you know, any of it. And just let's keep them away from each other. Like we don't want 2 sad songs on the same record.
So yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you divvy them up? Because I picture like post-it notes and you're putting one over here and one over here. And you're like, no, this one goes here. And that
it
one
was kind of like that.
Was it?
I sat down with a pen and paper and just tried to really treat it like a live set list. Like if I was to create 2 live set lists, what would it be? And so that separates tempo. That separates some of the like the subject matter. And, you know, this one's really, really country. So is this one. Let's put them on opposite records so that you get kind of a taste of everything on both sets.
I have to go back to what you were just saying. First of all, shout out Chris Lacey. I love her.
Yeah.
So she's incredible.
She's amazing.
And one of my favorite people. I look up to her. But in knowing the business, the way that you know the business, you just dropped a little kernel that I don't think people quite understand. This is music. It is the entertainment business, but business is at the heart of it.
Absolutely.
You have always been one of those people that I say fall into the category of the Garth Brooks of the world. You understand that this is first music, but also there is this other second half to it. And you, I feel like, really get into that and play that part more so than a lot of artists do.
You have to. If you don't run your business will run you. And I've always wanted to be not in control, like I'm not a control freak, but I want to be able to have a part in it, to have strategy, like, because otherwise it's chaos. Without strategy, without doing things on purpose and doing things intentionally, it's just chaos. And I hate everything about the music business except for the music. And so it's hard, like, because I don't want to dive into that stuff, but if you're not a businessman, somebody else is going to run your business for you.
Now, we've got your song, The Painter, on the Country Heat playlist right now, so tell us all about it.
The Painter might be the first song I've ever recorded where I talk in this voice. Like, if you listen to it, I'm not really singing. It's kind of just, it's this register. And Brandy was the one that pointed it out. She's like, that's your talk to you on the telephone voice. I'm like, really? She's like, every other song that you record, you know, you're like, you're really pushing vocally, you know, or you're going for something. She's like, this is just like the most relaxed sounding Cody I've heard on your records. I think that speaks to like the track being organic. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't overproduce. We purposefully didn't overproduce it at all so that it could paint its own picture. Like, the song is called The Painter, and for me, it paints a picture. Like, I think of, like, whenever it says, for every wall I built, she saw a canvas. I immediately go back to times when I was really hard-headed in my marriage, and Brandy just kind of stuck and was like, yeah, you'll come around eventually. Like, she already knew that. And so, like, this thing paints its own picture, and I think that that's what makes it special, is it's just a love song. Like, I just tried to stay out of the way of it.
By our count, this is the 10th that you've released, counting the live album. But this is the first time you have all outside cuts on a project. How did that all come together?
I got two co-writes out of this that will be on the next, the deluxe edition, but they were already written. I just kind of went in and was like, look, the second verse really doesn't make sense to me. Let's rewrite this. Or, hey, I really feel like you're making this song pretty happy and it needs to be sad. Like, what if we rearrange it this way? And so I got like credit on them, but I told them, I was like, you don't even have to make me a writer. I had songs in the pile, but you know, for an artist that only records their own songs, when they get a number one, they make significantly a lot more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it was about the money, I wouldn't be here. So it's about the song. It's about the best song. So if it's a better song than mine, that's what gets picked. And there was just incredible songs. I mean, some of these songs are, I mean, it's, as a songwriter, when you hear some of this stuff, you're going, dang, I wish I'd wrote that. Like, why didn't I think of that? You know, and some stuff, you know, like there's a song on this first part that's called Make Me a Mop. When you hear a title like Make Me a Mop, you're like, what is this? When I heard it, I just started weeping. And I'm like, there's no way I would have been able to write this. Like, it's incredible. Just absolutely incredible. So I think, to your point, the song always wins. Somebody's got to cut outside songs. Otherwise, songwriters in Nashville, like, what is the point?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's got to cut these songs. And there's some incredible songs just sitting there. I mean, I'll go back to the last album, Till You Can't, sat in Nashville for almost 10 years.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. Well, it was waiting for you.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Well, we always say that, you know, songs find their time. They find their time. They find their place.
Yeah, they do.
So
there's a, I don't know, my publicist will probably kill me, but everybody already knows about it anyway. So obviously the Carrie Underwood duet didn't make it onto the first 12.
Yeah, we know. We were going to ask that. That was coming up.
Well, that was, that's all out of respect for her. She was so easy to work with, and she was so gracious that we were kind of like, look, we'll do this on your time. Like, if you let us know when we can release it, or if we can't, you know, if it can be released as a single, if not, like, I'm totally happy. The story behind that song was, it was another artist had it. And I, on the last album on Human, I said, I really want this song. And they were like, no, we're going to release it as his single. And then it didn't happen. And so it went to Carrie. And then Carrie said, no, I love the song, but it doesn't really fit what I'm doing on this record. So it goes back to him. And then I said, what happened to that song? And I get it. And I'm like, I hear Carrie Underwood. I didn't know that she had had it. I hear Carrie.
Oh, really?
So then I contact her and I'm like, hey, what do you think about this song? She's like, oh, I love this song. Like, it was supposed to have been. So to your point, songs find their time.
Mm-hmm. And what's the name of the song?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell? Oh, man.
This is the only
thing. You saw me leaning in.
I swore to secrecy on this.
And I knew she was going to ask.
I'm sworn to secrecy.
She's going to try to get it out of you.
But it is going to be on the deluxe. So it's not like it's been shelved.
No. It's done. And we're just waiting. Like I said, it'll be on the deluxe. And then where it goes from there, we're completely just kind of leaving it up to them. And because, I mean, she's got obviously a lot going on, and so do I. So if it works out, it works out.
Well, and that's the whole thing. I think people don't quite understand that with the collaboration, it's like you have to figure out their schedule. If they're releasing something, if she has another collab that's coming out, then you, like, it's a lot.
And I also feel like that maybe like an artist that maybe is not as mature would be like just using it. Look at my Carrie Underwood for their own purpose. I just wanted the song cut because it was just incredible. So I'm happy.
And that's a total flex. You're like, I'm just going to have this song with Carrie Underwood.
I just wanted the song.
Waiting in the wings.
Yeah. Get ready.
We're sitting here like, we want it. We want it right now. We're very impatient. What I love is this album leans heavily on themes of faith. It's a consistent thread in your music. So tell us a little bit about your religious upbringing. Did you start singing in church? And a lot of people start singing in church.
Yeah, that's where I learned. That's where I cut my teeth. That's why it was so heartbreaking for like my mother when I was like, I'm going to go play in bars. But yeah.
No.
You know, a lot of my favorite artists, though, like you think about it, they all grew up singing in church,
right.
You know, from George Jones to Aretha Franklin. I think it teaches you how to sing passionately about something you believe in. I give credit every night in my live shows to God. And I always say like, dude, I'm not your preacher on Sunday morning. Like, trust me. But you know, people need to be reminded, especially me, to forgive people, forgive yourself, you know, show yourself some grace, because that's what God gives us. And it's important to me to have that in the music to let people know, like, you don't have to be a Bible thumper to believe that way. You can just daily try to be a little better, because I think that's what he wants.
Amen.
Have you written that song?
No.
I'm not your preacher.
No, but that
you
should.
You said it, and I was like, I get a third.
Yeah. That's actually a really good
She's
idea.
She's always in
okay,
here
we'll,
to hustle.
We'll file that away, just in case.
No, I love that, because it's such a simple concept. I'm like, if everybody just adopted that, it's like you're waking up every day deciding to be a better person and trying to make the world a better place. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And I, like me, I'm the biggest thing I struggle with is forgiving myself. Like, I'm so hard on myself.
Yeah.
I can make a mistake that is this big, or I can make a really big mistake. And either way, it's just boom.
Yep.
And I carry it around, and I'm like, you know, but I think that like some of this, like that Make Me a Mop song, one of the lines in that song was, it says, make me a mop to clean up the messes that I've made in my life. Make me a spoon smooth on the edges when my words want to reach for a knife. And I'm like, okay. Now my heart's palpitating and I'm trying not to cry. And it's, right. But I mean, I feel like that stuff kind of, it needs to be said, you know.
Well, we're going to write I'm Not Your Preacher. So it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. I'm hanging on to it. Speaking of that, tell us about Jesus Loves.
I knew that was coming next.
Okay, first time you heard it, what was your response?
So it was really dark. It was a Hardy duet or a Hardy demo. And it was kind of like really creepy dark. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this doesn't need to be creepy dark. This needs to be a man talking to another man on the other side of the glass saying, I'd have shot you. You need to reevaluate your life, because I was fixing to shoot you when you broke into my house. God obviously has a plan for you, and you better be thankful. And that's a very serious conversation, but it's direct. You're looking at another man. Let me tell you something. And I was like, that's the approach that we need to take with this on the production side. So I think the band had a little bit of that. I was like, find something that pisses you off and think about it, and then let's play this song. Have a little bit of anger and a little bit of grit. Like, think about that, and now let's play this song. It still has a happy ending. Nobody dies.
That's right. It's such a great song, man.
I think it's great. And I think it's a little ironic and a little hilarious. Everybody knows that I put a gospel song on every record. They're going to click on Jesus Loves You.
And think that's it.
And it's nowhere near the gospel song.
That's the beauty of the turn.
I think it's a great little trick.
It's so good.
Yeah. I like it too. So we've heard that was the song that you originally planned to have Jelly Roll on.
Well, yeah. So I was on the bus coming to Nashville to come record. And we were just texting back and forth. And I said, hey, I'm going to send you this song real quick. And I sent him the rough. And he's like, dude, this is an incredible song. And I'm like, well, I think it'd be funny, like, ex-prison guard, you've been to prison. This song is about two guys meeting in prison. I was like, think about the video. Like, we could have some fun.
You be on the other side.
Yeah, but I was like, I could have. Yeah. And plus, like, with my background with TDC in Texas, I was like, I can get us access to, like, a real prison setting. We had all this stuff going on. He's like, bro, I love it. I love
it. Get us access.
And then, like, so I sent him, he said, what else have you been recording? And I had Whiskey Bent, which, by the way, whenever I saw that title, I hated it.
Really?
Think about it, man. Whiskey Bent and Hellbound, you know, and I'm is going to be a redneck song.
But the hook, though.
My God. The hook just wrecked me. Like, I'm still trying to straighten up what whiskey bent. And so that song for me was something, I've lived that. I've been that guy. And I stopped right then in my life, and I chose not to be that guy. And I went back to my wife and apologized and said, this was very early on. But you got to remember, we've been together since 2008. So we were kids, and I had to go back and say, I'm sorry. I will never touch that stuff again. I will not be that person. And I have not since. And, you know, Jelly Roll really resonated with that, because it doesn't matter whether it's whiskey or if it's a different substance or maybe it's just a behavioral pattern or whatever it is. We've all got things in our life that we're still trying to straighten up. And Jelly Roll really resonated with that. And he's like, dude, I'm crying listening to this song. And I said, well, let's just record that one. And the very next day we recorded it, and it was perfect.
It's amazing.
You can just feel the passion in it. Like, real, it's authentic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been kind of playing it up if we'd have done Jesus Loves You.
When you guys are together, who has more tattoos, you or Jelly?
I don't know. I've never seen him with a shirt off. I go all the way up.
You have a sleeve?
Yeah, I go from here to here. I've got one on my back.
What's on your back?
A big cross.
Okay.
It's kind of like Irish looking. Yeah. Typical. It was like my first tattoo. I've got two on my chest. I did the bottom of my foot.
Ow! How in the world did you do that? How did you?
Alcohol. You wanted an honest answer.
So. I did, and I got it.
My tattoo artist was Buffalo Jake. You can look him up on Instagram. He was out on the road with me. All my tattoos pretty much have been done on my bus. Because we were talking about, like, I, you know, when I worked for the prison, I saw some really crazy tattoos. Like,
yeah,
body parts that you're like, how? Just how? I don't even know how. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I've got the top of my head done. I've done the inside of somebody's lip, and I've done somebody's butt, you know, and this and that. And I was like, what is one thing you've never tattooed? And he's like, the bottom of a foot. I was like, well, tonight after the show, we're doing it.
Immediate regrets, right?
No, it actually kind of tickled.
I was about to say, I can't, like, pedicures are really tough for me. I'm like, can you not scrub the bottom of my foot? That sounds like my worst nightmare.
That man is the only man who's ever touched my foot. I don't let people touch my feet.
Well, what's the tattoo of?
Okay, so my favorite Waylon Jennings song is I've Always Been Crazy. And in the second verse, it says, I've always been different with one foot over the line. Well, if you were a carpenter, you would say one foot over a line. And that's what it is on the bottom. So it's not really elaborate, but it definitely, it's in there.
So it's the number one with a foot.
It's one foot and over then a line. Line.
Is it on your heel?
It's in the arch. Like, it's down
what?
There.
Yeah.
Cody.
I can't.
Yeah. I forget now. It's there.
Yeah.
It's like I'll be getting out of the shower and I'm drying off and I'm like, whoa, what is, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember
my
that.
That's kind of great.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
Going in the pile
when we
of
get
Cody
off air,
Johnson
I'll find
trivia.
I'll find a picture of the night we did it. You'll obviously see the alcohol influence.
And you were giggling the whole time.
I laughed the whole time. I had a buddy, I told him, I was like, hold me down just in case. And so he held me down and I was like, you're good. Get off of me. This is fine.
That's so funny.
A needle on the bottom of your foot. That sounds... really painful and ticklish at the same time. Okay, we're going to go back to the album now, but that was an amazing story. So I have to imagine that for a guy that is as steeped in traditional country music as you are, having a song with Brooks and Dunn is just like a thrill for you.
Yeah, that was that song when it came to me. Trent Willman was like, hey, what do you think about this song? And obviously, Trent's got such a unique sound. I knew I was like, well, you're a writer on it. I can tell you did the demo. And then Ronnie Dunn reaches out to me and is like, hey, have you heard this Long Live Country Music thing? I was like, yeah. Why? And he's like, well, we were thinking about cutting it. And I was like, well, I was thinking about cutting it too. And he was like, well, it you know, you should really definitely put it on your record. And that's when I was like, well, why don't you guys just sing it with me on my record? All right, I'll call Kix. Hey, Kix is in. And I was like, perfect. So it was a pretty cool day.
How do you not just go, you can have it.
It's Ronnie. You take it.
I don't know. I'm not one of those starstruck people. And they're really down to earth. Like,
yeah.
It's not like Elvis has entered the room.
Right.
They're really good people. So okay. It's just easy to work with.
Well, were you in studio when he cut it or did they just send you?
No, actually, we did it that morning. Ronnie, I was actually getting an IV that morning. I do a lot of IV therapy just for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, you guys want an IV? So you got me and Ronnie and Kix hooked up to IVs and they're looking like we're all about to die. And we recorded it. We recorded it together. And then after that, My buddy Randy Houser came by the studio. I recorded a song with him for his album that's coming out. Then Jelly Roll came in. So it was a really, really fun day in the studio.
Why weren't we invited?
That was the one day like we had to be like extremely closed door. Because like usually when I'm recording, I'll let people come through and this. I was like, nobody comes by today.
Right.
Like
letting all the secrets out.
Oh my God. Yeah. We had fun that day though.
I imagine.
Well, Ronnie sounds amazing, by the way. Great. When his voice comes in, I went,
oh yeah.
I didn't realize how much we sound alike. Like I don't think I've ever given him enough credit for the way that I sing through my nose. There's a nasal register that I guess with the country twang of our accents, I didn't realize until we sang part by part. I looked at Brandy and I'm like, I sound a lot like him.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you were influenced pretty heavy by him and you've never really given him credit. So sorry, Ronnie. That's all you, buddy.
I love that so much. Okay. So you still have a few more dates in 2023. Mm-hmm. January 19th, 2024. That's the date. Circle it on the calendar, everybody. You're hitting the road on the Leather Tour. Here we go. It includes your first ever headlining date at Bridgestone Arena.
I'm pretty excited about that. I figured out the first time I played Houston Rodeo in 2017, that's when I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I was built for. This is what I was made for. Mm-hmm. Now, the day that we play Bridgestone, I'll probably go over to 3rd and Lindsley and just take a look and be like, that's where we came from. You know what I mean? Like, you never forget, like, and I'm never above playing anywhere, but I like the big stage. It's a completely different skill set than sitting on a stool in a bar.
Yeah.
And I think until you get out and you go do it, you don't really know whether you can or whether you can't. Because there's a lot of people that get their record deals and have never played shows, and then the record label throws them in a stadium, and then why did you just throw them in the fire?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't give them any time to adapt, any time to grow or mature. Fortunately, I've been doing this for over 15 years. So it's just like, I feel like now is the time.
I got to throw this out there. I think Keith did it, but it would be really cool if you found out who was playing at 3rd and Lindsley and invited them over.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. And just be like, hey, I just want y'all to know, like this, and have them come out and just sing one song with you.
I kind of did that in Australia.
You did?
Yeah. Well, we were, I'll hard flex a little bit.
Oh, the buckle. Yes, I remember this because you did the roping.
I went over and won the team roping.
Yes, you did.
On somebody else's horse. They all thought they were like, so cool, Cody's here roping, until I spanked them. And then they were like, oh, he just took first and second place. Wow. There goes all our money.
Thanks. And, thanks, yeah, guys.
Well,
pay for the trip.
No, it did not. That was an expensive trip. Yeah, I can't even tell you the number. It was extremely expensive. But it was worth it to go over and make new fans. So Wade Forrester is a musician over there, and we went and roped in the rodeo. And when we were there that night, I was like, you know, we're flying out at this time. You know, we're going to Melbourne. I'm like, you want to go to Melbourne? He's like, yeah, for what? I was like, dude, you should just come with me to Melbourne. You can talk about it on your social media. Get up on stage and we'll do Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. And he nailed it. And he's like, dude, I've had so many people contacting me about this. And I was like, it made me feel good. Like,
oh, you, it's so good.
Try to give back
a
little bit.
Didn't you just meet over social media? Is that how you guys, or did you know each other?
I talked to him on the phone. I was like, bro, I hope you're not like Australia's most notorious serial killer, but.
We're going to be friends.
Yeah. I'm coming over to rope.
And y'all rope together really good. Yeah, so it was awesome. I love that. Me too.
Well, we're just a few weeks out from Thanksgiving. So as you look back on 2023, what would you say you are the most grateful for this year?
I'm grateful for, I don't know where it comes from, but like just the perseverance that I've had this year, because it's been a really long year. Like there's been more appearances, more pressure. And I'm really and truly, I get it from my family, like being able to go home and be grounded. Like I said, tonight I'll jump on a jet and I'll be home. I'm meeting them at the Mexican restaurant in town. Like we're going to go back to being normal. Having that with my wife and my girls at home really helps me keep pushing, because it kind of reminds me of like what I'm doing it for. It's not about number ones. It's not about paychecks. It's not about fame. It's about going to work like any other man and providing for your family. And I think that's kind of what keeps me moving.
I love that.
The album is called Leather, everybody. More music is coming, including a duet with Carrie Underwood. He won't tell us the name of it, but it is
welcome,
coming your
Carrie.
Way. The Leather Tour. It's on sale now. Starts up in 2024. Thank you so much for making time for us, Cody.
You bet.
So
thanks,
good to
y'all.
See you.
We have the best job. Seriously, I love talking to him. He is just so real.
And so down to earth.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so we have to tell everybody about the remodeling project that they have going on. Can we pull that clip?
Okay.
Okay.
Control room says yes. We're going to set the scene for you. We were asking about his Christmas plans because we're just kind of trying to bank some holiday content going forward. We were asking about what Christmas is like on his ranch.
And so Cody and his wife discovered a mold problem in their house recently. And so they're doing a big remodel. And in the meantime, they have moved from their 7,000 square foot mansion into a single wide trailer on their property.
Which means this is Cody's life.
I got a driver picking me up, got a gold watch on, go to the airport, get in a private jet, fly to Nashville, play for Kix Brooks Songwriter Hall of Fame induction, jump right back in the car, they take me to the airport, I fly on my private jet back, get picked up by my private driver, and they drop me off at my single wide trailer house.
That's right.
That's called keeping it real.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that'll keep you humble.
Oh, right? No doubt.
Thanks to everyone listening. If you just stumbled onto this podcast for the first time, make sure you go follow Country Heat Weekly on your favorite podcast app.
When you do that, it makes sure that you get a notification when new episodes drop. And you do not want to miss next week's show with our center stage guest, Garth Brooks.
Garth has a new single called Rodeo Man. It's a duet with Ronnie Dunn, which is so cool. And the only place you can stream it is on Amazon Music.
Plus, he's doing an exclusive Black Friday concert from his new bar in downtown Nashville that you're going to be able to watch live on Prime Video. And we get to host the pre-show.
I'm so excited. And we have so much to talk to him about.
Yeah.
So make plans to be back here with us next week for all that. Plus, even more scoop from backstage at the CMA Awards. See you next week.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Country Heat Weekly ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at listenerstudy.com.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.